Good morning, Finch and Chanukah. Today's topic is gambling and halacha. Just a bit of, to start with a bit of a disclaimer, as we always do, we're going to discuss the topic from a halacha point of view, from a Chosh Mishmah point of view. Obviously, gambling is not a good or wise thing to do with a person's time. It's well known, the dangers, it's an addiction, it can become a sickness, and certainly not something that a person should be doing. But today, we're not going to focus on the Musar aspect. We're going to discuss it from a halacha point of view. What, if anything, is wrong with gambling, and how does halacha define gambling? Now, to understand this, we have to go briefly through the sugya of asmachta. In general, halacha does not second-guess people's decisions. You can walk over to someone, hand him $10,000, say, listen, I like you, a present from me to you. Afterwards, you think to yourself, what did I do? This is ridiculous, I can't afford. You call him up, ask for it back. Nothing doing. You already gave it to him, there was a kenyan, Dvarim Shabalev, you know, even Dvarim Shabalev Matonim, maybe a Shaila, but it's done. A deal is a deal. Now, the same thing is true. If you walk over to someone and say, I'm going to give you $10,000, and you make a kinyan, you write an IOU note, you write a shtar choiv, you make a kinyan sudr, in such a case, you owe the money. There's no consideration, you didn't get anything in return, it may have been a silly thing to do, but the moment you make a commitment, I'm going to give you the money, and you make a ma'aseh kinyan, you owe the money. And you can go ahead later on and say, I didn't mean it, it was a mistake, you've got to pay. There's one case, and this is the Shaila of Asmachta, where Chazal go ahead and say, you didn't mean it. And that is any case where there's a DE, a person says, I mean, the classic example is a person owes money, he paid back half of his debt, and the lender is pushing him, I want payment in full. So the borrower takes the IO, tells the lender that, listen, I'm going to pay you in full within 60 days. If I don't pay you within 60 days, then take this note, which is really halfway paid up, you know, it's by a third party, and if I don't pay you in 60 days, you can collect the entire debt again. Over here, the halacha, we hold asmachta loikanya. Even though you made a deal that if I don't come within 60 days, I'm going to pay you the whole debt again. You made a kinyan, it was in the hands of a third party. Still, it's an asmachta. We say you did not mean it. There is no gemiras das. You may have said it, but you were only said it because you were sure that you were going to be able to pay. There was money coming in. But if it doesn't work out, at the end of the day, you have the right to back out. It's an asmachta lekanya. Now, there's a tremendous discussion in the Rishonim. What are the guidelines of asmachta? When do we say you did me the deal wasn't serious? It's an asmachta. And when do we say no? A deal is a deal. You made a kinyan. It's chal. And there's a tremendous. It's a very important shaila. Anyone who's ever signed a contract, there's a whole list of contingencies. If I don't close by this date, there'll be a certain penalty. You'll hire a contractor. If it's not, the project is not completed by a certain time, there may be a penalty. When is a penalty in asmachta, and when do we say a deal is a deal? So, there are many different shittos in the Rishonim, and we're going to focus first on the shittos of the Ramah. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, has a case of Haimadiyo of Zuzi Lechavrei Lemizvan Lechamro Upashav Lezavim Lech. A person gave someone money to buy wine. Apparently there was a sale, great price. Paid someone to go pick it up. He was Peshaya. The Shliach did not go and buy the wine. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Ashi, Asmachta Lekanya. The Shliach, the agent, is not responsible for the fact that he wasn't able to buy the wine. And therefore, even though you lost money, the price is not available anymore, there's no recourse. So, if any of you were looking for a new camera, and you saw this phenomenal ad on Black Friday, you weren't in the mood of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so you paid someone a couple of dollars to go get it for you. The halacha is, if he oversleeps, if he doesn't get it for you, and now that very same camera you're going to have to pay an extra $100 for, asmach to lekanya. He doesn't have to pay you a penny. You don't have to pay him. He didn't do the work for you. But the fact that he committed and he took money and said, I'm going to get this for you at a great deal, and then he overslept, he does not have to pay you for the loss.
What's the difference between this? Why is this called asmachta?
Okay, hold on. Let's. The Gemara then continues and says, wait a second. There's a halacha, it's actually a Mishnah, that if a person has, you have a landlord, and he hires a property manager. The case over there was, he hired a sharecropper who's going to plant the field and work the field, and they're going to split the profits. And obviously the same thing is true, you have someone to manage your property. He's going to find tenants, he's going to advertise, and you're going to pay him a certain amount. And he tells the landlord that if I'm pesheya, if I don't do the work I'm supposed to, ashalim b'mitvasa, I'm going to reimburse you for any hefsid that you had because I didn't work. There the halacha is, he has to pay. You hire a worker, he's negligent, and because of the negligence there are losses, he's got to pay the balabas, he's got to pay the employer for these hefsidim. Mara asks, that's a stira. How come when you hire the fellow to pick up, to buy the stuff on Black Friday, he doesn't have to pay you for your loss? When you hire someone to work the field and he doesn't do it, he does pay you for the loss. So the Gemara answers, Hasan biyadai, hachala biyadai. When you hire someone to work a field, what's he guaranteeing? He's not guaranteeing it's going to rain. If he does his job and it doesn't rain, he doesn't pay you a penny. He's guaranteeing he is going to work the field. That is biyadai. That is completely under his control. Gets up in the morning, he works the field, the job will get done. In such a case, where you make a commitment, I'm going to do something, and it's in your control, that's not an asmachta. And if you don't go do it, you're going to be responsible for any losses that the employer incurs. Masha Enkein, in our Black Friday story, it's true. You can get up 5 o'clock in the morning and go to Walmart. But there's going to be a stampede at that time. When you get there at 5 o'clock, there are going to be people who are camped out from the night before. And when you get there, there's going to be mud. You don't know how many they have in stock. You don't know whether it's going to be possible. In such a case, where it's not biyadai, it is not completely under your control, because it depends how many are in stock, it depends what other people are doing, there, even though you've accepted responsibility, that is called an asmachta. Because you've accepted responsibility only because you were confident that it would work out. You're confident there weren't going to be so many people, you're confident that you'll be able to get it. If it doesn't work out, we say you never meant to accept that penalty. Okay, but since even if he went, it's not the yodoy, that means there was never a smichas das. And if there's no smichas das at the time, then the kinyan is not chal at all. So this is the first yisoid. That when you accept responsibility for something which is beyond your control, it's an asmachta. Now, a very common case, this happened a few weeks ago. Harusa came in, he had a few of his misfalim that were a bit overweight, and their doctors or their wives were on their case to lose a couple of pounds. So they made up, they're each going to commit $5,000, and whoever loses the most weight in 3 months keeps the pot. Now, is that asmachta or not? Is losing weight under your control or not? So now in this case, it's clearly asmachta, because even if you can control your weight, you can't control the next person's weight. So since it's not the yodah that he makes sure you lose more than them, it's clearly an asmachta. Let's change the case. Let's say instead of 4 people involved, you make a bet that you say you can lose 10 pounds in 2 months. And if you lose the 10 pounds, you'll get a certain amount of money, otherwise you'll pay. Is that an asmachta or not? So, is it biyodoy to lose 10 pounds in 2 months? Now, I suspect if I asked for a show of hands, everyone thin would say, yes, of course it's biyodoy, stop eating. Anyone who struggles with his weight a little bit will say, no, it's not biyodoy, it's impossible, even when I diet, I gain weight. So, I don't know. But But that's the first question. If it's biyada, if you control it and you make a commitment, you have to pay. If it's out of your control, then it's an asnachta, and even though you made a commitment, you made a kinyan, loy kanyev. There's no gemuras das. Even when it's under your control, there's another important limitation. The case of the Mishnah is, you said, that I'm going to work the field. You hired someone to work the field. He said, I'm going to do it. If not, I'm going to pay for your losses. What happens if you hire a contractor to build your house? He tells you it'll be done in a year. Okay, so you tell him, all right, I want that in writing. No problem, it'll be done in a year. Okay, now I want a penalty if it's not done. It's fine. If it's not done within 2 years, then at that point I'll pay you $2,000 a month. Is that penalty an asmachta or not? So the first question is it biyado or not? Does the contractor have direct control over building it? So if he's building it himself, this contractor shows up every morning with a hammer and nails and he builds the house, that's clearly biyado. I mean, assuming there are no zoning issues or weather issues, he has the one who control. If he accepts responsibility, he's going to have to pay. On the other hand, if it's not biyado, he needs other people's cooperation, and it's not clear, it's not so easy to get people's cooperation. That's la biyado. That would be an asmachta. Even when it is under his control, you can only accept to pay for the losses. Now, let's say the buyer, he has a house, he's selling his house based on your commitment that it's going to be ready at the end of the year. So at that point, if it's not ready, he's going to have to rent another house. So you can agree to pay for any loss. You'll cover all of his expenses that are created from the fact that you didn't finish the construction. However, in a case of a guzma, where you say, you know what, if I'm not done at this time, I'm going to give you $5,000 a month. It's a guzman. It's nothing to do with the person's losses. It's just a penalty. There, even if it's biyada, even if it's under your control, the halacha is, it's called an asmachta. So far we need two. There are two important points we have to look at. The first point is, if it's not under your control, it's an asmachta and it's not a kinyan. Even if it is under your control, it cannot be a guzman. It has to be, you're accepting to pay for the losses.
Why is that?
The point is to accept to pay for losses when it was in your control and your negligence caused the loss, it's appropriate to pay. So even though in Hilchas Mazik it'll be a grum, or for whatever reasons we can't, you're not a mazik, but to accept to pay for something that you caused is something which makes sense. And when people accept such responsibilities, we say they mean it. Just to pay $10,000, we say people don't just, they're not just machayev themselves to pay crazy amounts of money for no good reason. And therefore, it's a lish lahasmech dvarov. It's just your way of saying, don't worry, it'll be done. And you didn't mean it. It's an incentive, but the point of asmachta is when the parties agree to it only because they're convinced it won't happen, that's not a gemiras das. Now the Mechaber adds a very interesting point. A person went ahead, he put a deposit on a property. They made a deal that if he walks away, the deposit is non-refundable. They made a deal the other way, that if the seller backs out, he's going to double the person's deposit. He'll give him his money back, plus that way the penalty was equal. Whoever walks away loses. If the deposit was $10,000, so whoever walks away will end up paying the other person $10,000. Now, if the seller backs out, the halacha is asmachta lekanya. It may be biyada, he may be able to sell the property, but is there any reason for him to pay the buyer for $10,000? No, there are no losses. And that this is a case of asmachta, the seller backs out, he does not have to pay. Zok the Mechaber, and based on the Rambam, if the buyer walks away from a deal, he put down a deposit and then he walked away. The halacha is, even though it's an asmachta, the seller can keep the deposit. Why? Because what's the point of asmachta? Point of asmachta is if I tell you, you know what, if you lose 10 pounds, I'll give you money, I'll give you $10,000. We say, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. It was an asmachta. There's no gemiras das. If I give you the money, you're holding on to my deposit, and I tell you, if I don't close, you can keep the deposit, you better believe that I meant it, because I gave you the money. Now it's not a, now it's a question of, if I back out, I have to then haul you in front of a bezin and force you to return it to me. Since you are already muchzik on the money, I already paid it to you. And here it's a question of mechila. Here the mechaber says there's no problem of asmachta. Asmachta is always, I tell you if something happens, I will pay you. If I give you the money up front, and now, and I tell you if I don't close, then you can keep it. That halacha is, would not be an asmachta according to the mechaber.
Does that apply by third party as well?
No, if it's biyad shlish, that's not. It has to be that the if the money is by an attorney in escrow, this will not apply. This is only when the deposit was released to the seller. The Rama argues, but the mechaber, this is the psak of the mechaber, that if once he has it, once he's a mochzik, then there's nothing to talk about. Now, now that we have this background in Hilchos Asmachta, let's try to apply this to gambling. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that it gives a list of psulei edos, people who are possible to be made. One of the psulim is mesachek b'kuvya, or mafricha yoina, which means people who gamble. People who gamble cannot be made in Bezdin. The Gemara has a machlokes why. The first man the Yomer holds, Rami Bar Chama, it's asmachta. When you gamble, you make a bet with someone. Do you really plan on paying out this bet? No, you're making the bet because you're convinced that you're right, you're convinced your horse is going to win, you're convinced the stock will rise, or whatever you're doing. It's an asmachta. Asmachta leikanya. And therefore, someone who wins a bet and is taking money shalikidin, it's gezel, and therefore it's possible le'edus. Now, based on this chat, it happens to be it's only usur if you win the bet. If you are a gambler, but you're a shlamazel, and you've lost every bet that you've tried, you're not a goslin. You wouldn't have this psul. What also comes out is that if you win once, that's all you need to be psul. Because it's gezel, whether it's deraisa, derabanan, it's gezel, and therefore you win a bet, you take the money, you're psul edus. Rav Sheshes argues. Rav Sheshes says, kochi haigavna lab asmachtehi. That's not an asmachta. The reason why you can't be made is because you're in oisik b'yeshuv v'shalolam. If you're parnasa, if this is what you do for a living, you're a gambler, that's not a productive profession, and therefore, because you're in oisik b'yeshuv v'shalolam, you're pasul. According to Rav Sheshes, if you have a day job, and just a little entertainment on the side, you gamble every once in a while, you can be made. It's not gezel, you're not stealing, it's just a question of that you don't have any, not doing anything productive. So as long as you have a job, if this is on the side, you would be kosher according to Rav Sheshes. Why isn't gambling an asmachta? So Rashi explains like this. What's the problem of asmachta? The problem of asmachta is when I tell you that if I can't lose 10 pounds, I'm going to pay you this amount of money. The problem of asmachta is I don't really mean it. I'm counting on the fact that I will be able to lose weight. I'm counting on the fact that I'll be able to get up early enough for Black Friday and I'll beat the crowds. I'm being simich on something, so I don't really mean it. Zog Rashi, what happens if I'm dealing with something which is totally beyond my control? It's totally random. I tell you, you're going to spin the die, and if it's a 6, I'll pay you. If it's a 1, you pay me. Does it make sense to say that I'm soymich das, I'm really counting on the fact that it'll be a 1, it won't be a 6? That makes no sense. Because it's totally out of my control. When it's totally out of my control, and I still say, if this happens, I'll pay you, then I must have meant it. Because there's nothing else I can fool myself with. So according to Rashi, it'll come out, there are 3 different levels. If something is totally beyond my control, it's totally random, just a game of chance, there Rashi says it's not asnachta. Because it's totally out of my control, if I agree to pay, I must have meant it. If it's totally under my control, it's also not asnachta. As long as I'm able to do it, and my payment is reasonable, it's not a guzma. So I meant it. I tell you, if I don't do this job, I'll pay you this amount. The issue of asmachta is in this middle case, where it's somewhat under my control. In those cases, we say, when I told you, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to pay you. I was counting that it would work out, and therefore I wasn't sayer of das on the obligation. So, it'll come out. So, according to the Ramah, anything which is totally beyond my control is misakha bekuvya, and you're only possible if this is your parnasa. If you do it once or twice, there would be no iser. The Rambam paskins, even by misakha bekuvya, you do it once, it's called gezel midivrehim. He seems to pass like Rami Bar Chama, although it's a big nidoin in the achroinim exactly what the sheet of the Rambam is. But the Rambam seems to hold that a gamble, even when it's totally beyond your control, we say asmach to loikanya, and it's considered gezel. Interestingly, even according to the Rambam, this applies only if you're gambling with another yid. When you're gambling with a yid, we say asmachta loikanya at least midrabanon, and therefore you can't take the winnings. On the other hand, if you're gambling with a goy, since the goy willingly is taking part of the gamble, this takano does not apply. And if you win, you can keep the money. There's no iser gezel. The Rambam says, nevertheless, it's not what a person should be doing with his time. The Rambam's lashon is, Yeshlo iser oisib gedvarim betalim, she'en roi lo'odim she'yase kol yom v'le'el b'dibri chochma v'yishuv v'shaloylam. A person should not be spending his time gambling. But, as far as this iser is concerned, gambling with a goy, the iser gezel does not apply. Let's now try to go back to discuss halacha l'maisa a bit with gambling. Chanukah night, after you light neiros, you want to have a family dreidel game. Now you play with money, or for that matter, you play with candies. It doesn't make a difference. Gambling can be with money. It can be cash. It can be with shava kesef. Is a person allowed to play dreidel with his family, or is it an asmachta? Now, what's dreidel? When you play dreidel, is that a game of chance? What level does it fall into? L'chayra, dreidel is something which is enu biyode klau. It's total chance. I've never met anyone who claimed to be an expert dreidel player. You spin the dreidel, and there's a 25% chance it'll be at a nun, gimel, shin, hey. There's no way to control it. If it's totally a game of chance, according to the Ramah, what is halacha? There are more paskins. If it's ain't be other cloud, so if this is your job, that's all you do. What you do for a living is you play dreidel. You'll be pasaleidus. You ain't oisik be yeshuv v'shaloylam. But assuming you have a day job and once a year you decide to enjoy a little family game of dreidel, since it is ain't be other cloud, it's totally out of your control. The halacha is according to the Ramah, it's not an asmachta, and whoever wins keeps the pot. However, say you are a Svardi, and you follow the Pesachim of the Rambam. The Rambam paskins, even by Mesachet Bekovia, where it's totally, total chance, total random, still the Rambam says, there's an Isser Gezel Midivrayim. There's an Isser Midrabanon of gambling, even when it's even one time, and even if it's total chance. And therefore, if you're a Svardi, Chayra, you have no business playing dreidel. And whoever wins has to give back whatever he won. Now it happens to be, the Sfarzim do not have any Messiah of playing dreidel. In Syria and Morocco, there's no such thing. They may have picked it up when they came to America and mixed with some of the Ashkenazim. But the Syrians do not have such a minhag of playing dreidel. And it works out very nicely with Shitasim. According to the Mechaber, if you're playing for money or you're playing for food, there should be an Isser Midrabanan of keeping the money. Now let's move on to the next case. Chinese auction. You want to put money in a Chinese auction. Now a Chinese auction is essentially a gamble. You're buying a ticket. If you win, you get a nice big prize. And if you lose, you lose. So let's go. According to the Ramah, what should halacha be? Chayra Chinese auction is like dreidel. It's totally a game of chance. If it's totally a game of chance, according to the Ramah, it's not an asmachta. It's ain't a biyod klal, and therefore, shouldn't be a problem. Ma'ase'enkein, if you are a svardi, and you're following the psak of the Rambam, even though it's totally a game of chance, it's misachta b'kovya. And it should be aser to put money in a Chinese auction. Now, over here, if you think about it, the halacha is not so simple. Why? Because we mentioned before, if a person puts a deposit on a house and he wants to back out, so there we said it's an asmachta. But according to the mechaber, if you've already paid and you're asking for the money back, there's no problem of asmachta. When you buy a ticket to an auction, what do? You pay up front for the ticket. That means you've already paid the organization for the ticket. If you lose, what are you saying? You call the organization and say, listen, I put a ticket in, I'm a Sfardi, and according to Sfardi, Masnachto Lekanya, even in these cases, I want the money back. The organization will tell you back, no. You paid us before the auction. Since you paid us, we're the Muchzik already. Here it's a question of an asmachta where we already have the money. If you've already given the money before, and it's a question of mechila, even the shita's mechaber is asmachta kanya. So if someone loses the auction and wants a refund, the halacha is nothing doing. Since he already paid asmachta kanya, he can't get his money back. However, what happens if the Sfardi wins the auction? Now, if the Sfardi wins, are the people who buy the tickets, are they a muchzik on the prize? No. You win, they have the auction, they pick out a winner, and then they give them the prize. So according to a Sfardi, that a total game of chance is a asmachta. So if you lose, since you've already paid the money, you can't ask for it back. But if you win, the organization should be able to tell you, you're a Sfardi, you follow the Shitas HaMachas, Shitas HaRambam, it's an asmachta, we don't have to give you the prize. No, because the whole case of a deposit is it works both is the buyer is locked in, the seller isn't. Some of you showing them that's why they argue. They say it's not fair to do it one way or not the other. But according to the Mechaber, we do that. But you think about it, it's not really true. Why? Because why isn't it when I buy a raffle ticket, why should it be an asmachta? So asmachta because I don't know, maybe I'll win, maybe I'll lose. So I'm not semech das. So from a buyer's end, if he loses, we have a question of asmachta. Since he paid, he's not going to win. From the seller's perspective, is it a gamble when they make one of these lotteries? No. Because it's guaranteed someone's going to win. It's just a question of to who. Since from the seller's perspective it's a guarantee, they know they're giving this away. There's no asmachta, there's no deed, there's no question of smichus das, they just have to decide which person's going to be. From the seller's end, it's not an asmachta anyway. It's only a shayla on the buyer's end. And since on the buyer's end, if he's Ashkenazi, who follow the Ramad, say it's totally a game of chance, there's no problem with asmachta. If he's a Sfardi, since he paid already, it also won't be a problem of an asmachta. Of course, if he buys it on credit, then we have a much more serious question. So if you're buying the ticket and you didn't pay for it yet, they're ready. Again, we'll get back to this a little bit later, but I'll pay out. It should sound like it's a problem. Okay, so that's dreidel and that's Chinese auctions. What about plain knipluch? So is that a smachta or not? Now, I'll tell you the truth, I have a bit of a confession to make, and that is, I don't know exactly how to play knipluch. But I'm not sure whether it is completely a game of chance or not. If it's completely a game of chance, it's like spinning a dreidel. There's no such thing as a good player or a bad player, you're just spinning. So then according to the Ramah, it's not the Kanyo, according to the Mechaber, not, but if you paid already, then it would be a Kenyan. However, if there's skill involved, and there's something called a good player, and there's room to say he is Soymich Das, I'm a good Kvitlach player, and therefore I'm going to win. I know how to bluff, I know how to do whatever it is. So if there's a significant amount of skill, then, already, it's not Eino B'yodai Klal. Now it's a classic case of Asmachta. If it's a classic case of Asmachta, where the people are gambling because they're assuming that they know how to play better and they're going to win, via Lukuliyama, we would hold Asmachta Loikanya, and you have no right to take the money. There's no Kenyan, and it's Gezel, again, there are issues of Mechila B'Toyz, the person pays willingly, but I'll call upon him if the Netzias is, the facts are, that there is skill involved, and that there's something called a good player, there's something, there's reason for him to be Samech Das, then the Kul Yamlet should be an Asnachta. You know, let me just finish one thing. Now the last case that was advertised was, what about investing on a gambling site? Now here, I would like to assume, perhaps problem may not be true, but let's make this optimistic assumption that the people playing are goyim. Assuming the people playing are goyim, even the Rambam that is machmir on asmach by mesachet b'kovio, by a game of chance, says that it's only a takana b'drabonim, and if you're playing with a goy, then as long as the bet is fair, the halacha is there's no issur of gezel. And therefore, even according to a Sfaradi, first of all, in these sites, I don't think they give you credit. You have to pay first, so there will be a musig on the money. And second of all, even without that, as long as your counterparty is a goy, even the Rambam will not hold there's an Isser Gezel Medivreim on the Asmachta.
I believe by Pidlov, there's
put money up first. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But that's not, the case of the Mechaber is that if you give this person the money who you're having the bet with, and then if you lose the bet, he keeps it. In Kvitlach, I believe you're putting it on the table. You're not giving it to the other person. So since you haven't given it to someone, that heter of the Mechaber will not apply. But we will get back to that point a little bit later. Even in the Mechaber, if you give it beyond Shlish, if you give it to a third party, this doesn't apply. It's only when he has it and it's a question of Mechila. If he doesn't have it yet and it's a question of Hakna, it doesn't apply.
Would it make any difference,
whatever it's whatever it is,
we're talking about relatively small amounts of money?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. Adkan, the discussion from a Choshen Mishpat point of view. This is all Choshen Mishpat. However, this Shaila is discussed in Aruch Chaim as well. And in Aruch Chaim we're going to see the halachas seem to be very different. There's halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, discussed in the Gemara, Daf Kuf Mem Tes, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Chav Beis. There's a halacha that you're having a suda, and you bring out dessert, and all your kids, they're all grabbing the dessert, everyone wants the first portion. So in order to just keep things under control, you decide you're going to have a raffle. Not make a hold a lottery, whoever wins gets the first portion of dessert. So the other halal, the Gemara says that as long as the dessert, the size of the pieces are all the same, that's fine, and you're doing it just for crowd control, that's beseder. However, if you have bigger pieces and smaller pieces, you have chocolate and vanilla, you have better and you have worse, and now you're having a raffle where the winner gets the bigger piece and the loser gets the smaller piece, the other Gemara says that's osur mishum kovyu afilu b'chol. Even during the week, it's also to have such lotteries. Now Tesis points out, this is really a machlokes. According to the Ramah, that Paskin, like Rosh Hashanah, that if you misachet b'kovyu, which is totally by chance, there's no iser, it's only if it's umnasim b'kach, he would hold that it's mutter. The Rambam, the Paskins, like Rami Bar Choma, or similarly, that even a game of chance has a problem with asmach, but then more it makes sense. The problem is, if you look at the Torah, and you look at the Mechaber in Semin Shinchav Beis, there, everyone paskins, it is also to make a lottery during the week. Even with members of the family. Since it's a Pella. In Choshen Mishpat, we said a game of chance is fine, according to the Ramah. In Aruch Chaim, we're saying, even a game of chance, you're dealing with family, you're talking about, you're raffling off dessert, there's an Isser of Kuvyu. What's going on? So the Achrayim are very bothered by this kasha. The Magen Avraham says that even the Ramah, even when it's a game of chance and you're not posel le'edus, there's a ksas isher iser yesh bedavar. There's epis something wrong. It just means you're not posel le'edus. But something gambling is always going to be somewhat usher. That's how the Magen Avraham learns. Shulta Giboyrim has a beautiful teretz. It's a bit of a doichik in the Mechaber, but as far as the halacha shabbai, I think it brings out a very important point. Let's go back to our original example. I go over, I make up with someone that, you know what, we're going to gamble a dreidel or whatever it is. We're going to make a bet. We're betting over a basketball game. If I win, you pay me. If I lose, I'll pay you. So what are we saying? Is that an asmachta? In that case, yes. Because I think I'm a better player. You think you're a better player. That's an asmachta. What happens if we bet over something which is out of our control? There, according to the Ramah, that's not an asmachta. It's a total game of chance. I'm not saying mevdas on anything, and therefore, there's a king. The bet works. But let's go back. What would happen if I walk over to you and I tell you, listen, I'm going to give you $10,000 tomorrow. Do I owe you $10,000 now? No. My dimur doesn't make a kinyan. I told you I'll give it to you. I changed my mind. Even mechusar amana, as we learned, it's matanam ruba. Verbal, just saying I'm going to do something doesn't mean that I owe it to you. You need a ma'isa kinyan. You have to sign a contract, you have to do hagbah, you have to pay ma'isa kinyan, otherwise I don't have to pay you. Every time there's a bet, I tell you, okay, we're going to spin the dreidel. If it's a gimel, I get the pot, which means I'm taking your money. If it's a shin, I'm going to give more into the pot. Where's the kinyan? It's nothing more than a dibur. Why is this binding? So, if you look at the Ramah and Simin Reish Zayin, the Ramah says, the whole halacha, that by a gamble, which is ain't a biyar the cloud, which is total chance, there's no problem of asmachta, that's all talking about a case where either the money was on the table, or yesh aimrim, the table that the money was on belonged to everyone who was gambling. Since the table was owned by the shotfis, the way many achroinim learn, so if I own the table, the moment I win the bet, it's in my chaser, my table is kind of the money. In other words, what the Ramah is saying is, even if the bet is not a problem of asmachda, we still have to deal with the kinyan. You have to be doing something to make it binding.
Doesn't the kinyan mean before that?
Okay, so the Nesiva says you have to first make a kinyan. Even when you make a kinyan, the money still has to be on the table. Yesh ayim, the table has to belong to everyone. For zaitika reasons, you know, for this and Jewish rush, that we can't go into. But based what the Shulchan Gibarim points out is that even if the bet, as far as Hilchos Asmachta is not a problem, we have to deal with a kinyan. And therefore, the Nesiva says you have to make a ma'isa kinyan before the bet. In addition to that, the Ramah says the money has to be on the table. You can't just be playing with an IOUs or with, you know, on credit. Okay, if I lose the bet, I'll pay you. There has to be cash on the table. And the Ramah brings down a yesh, I mean, the table has to belong to all of us. If it belongs to the shutzfis, then the moment I win the bet, the money becomes mine. But if we're gambling and the money's not on the table, there is no kinyan, or if the table doesn't belong to both of us, there's no kinyan, and even if the asmachta is not a problem, there's a problem with the kinyan. And therefore, zog the shulte gibayrim, when we say in Hilchos Eidos that someone who gambles is not possible, that's talking about a case where the money was on the table. You made the right kinyanim, so it's not no iser gezel. It's a total question of chance, not a problem. However, in Shinchav Beis in Orach Chaim, there we're talking about the dessert apparently wasn't on the table yet, or if you go like the other sheet, the table belonged to the Baal Bayis, kids didn't own the table. So in that case, there's no kinyan, and that's why it is usur even b'chol.
How does it help for a shin? What? For a gimel, not for a shin.
What?
It's only help for where you're taking it. Now you have now being mechayev yourself to put something in.
If you're taking out, you're pocketing a chanami. But if everything is on the table, then yeah, you have your everyone's. So now it'll actually come out, the tables are turned a little bit. Because what we're saying now is, according to the Ramah, even though there's no problem of asmachta when you're dealing with a game of chance, still if the money's not on the table, you don't make a kinyanim, it's going to be asr. In Shinchav Beis, most poskim hold, even if you're dealing with family members, and even if the father is giving, it's really all the food belongs to him anyway. Still, because it's teaching, it's very bad chinuch, we're afraid that we're going to teach these kids how to gamble, it's always going to be awesome. Even if you provided the money, it's going to be awesome. And therefore, it comes out, according to Ramah, even though in Chayesh Mishpat he's mekel, over here, if you're playing a family dreidel game, it's going to be awesome, even if the money all belongs to the father. The Rambam, it comes out, although he holds in Hilchos Asmachta, there's a problem. In the Or HaChaim, he says there's no Isser when you're dealing with family members. If the money all belongs to the father, and he's just distributing it, we don't have such a gezeirah. So it'll come out for a family dreidel game. If you're a Sfardi, you can be Samech on the Rambam. If you're an Ashkenazi, you follow the Shitas of Ramah, you follow the other Shitas, there, even if it's family, there's going to be an Isser. Now, what comes out is, whenever you have a question of gambling, we have to deal with two matters. Your first question as far as Choshen Mishpat, is Asmachta Kanya or not Kanya? Even if Asmachta is Koina, you have to make sure you have the right kinyan. You have to make sure you either did made a kinyan sudr, you may also need that the money is on the table, and the table belongs to everyone. I know one of the members of the Chabura, his svagar called him up a week before Chanukah and said, listen, we're playing Kvetbach. I don't want to hear Asur Mutter, we're playing. What I want to know is, what is the best way to play Mahajan and a Mahajan, where we're both covered according to the Shitas? So, he told him, listen, the first thing you have to do is, before each bet, you have to be Makabal Kenyan, that even if you hold us, there's no problem with Asmachta, you need a Kenyan. So before every gamble, you have to be make Kenyan Sudr, pick up a pen, be Machayev yourself to pay if you lose. Second of all, the cash has to all be on the table. And third of all, there's a Yesh Aimrim, it's not just enough the cash is on the table, the table has to belong to everyone. We have to be Shutzim in the table. So he said he came in on Chanukah, he went to visit his shvagar. Said he walks into the room, you know, this smoke-filled room. Everyone was, you know, half-drunk. And every time there's a bet, they're all busy picking up kinyan sodas, making hakbars and mashichas. And they said afterwards, next year that's it. They had enough, they were cured. It's not that much fun playing. I think also where the person who lost at the end of the day said, listen, but now you gave me, this table now belongs to me. Tried walking out with the table. So
chips were whatever, things other than money would not be considered money?
What do you mean chips?
You designate.
No, that's ba'amon. If you designate something and afterwards you make a cheshbon, okay, you have 10 chips, I'll pay you. Like this. If you pay the house in advance, you give them money, they give you chips. Then if you lose to the house, then they're the muchzik. We have the shittas of mechaber, that's a question of mechila. Whatever they win, they win. On the other hand, if you win, or if it's just people make up that we're going to play with chips and afterwards we'll pay each other based on that, that's va'amana. And afterwards, if anyone who loses does not have to pay it out. Ukulayama, there was no kinyan. You can designate whatever you want, but it's not a kinyan. You have to pay it afterwards. That's called seichet ba'amana. That means you play it on credit. With kulay alma, it's not going to work.
Why isn't it a kinyan dvarim?
It is chayvus. I will pay you money if I lose. Paying money is not dvarim. Paying money is cash. That's a regular chayvus. Okay, so now let's go back. Now that we've gone through the Or HaChaim part, let's go through the different halachos l'maaseh again. If you're paying dreidel, it comes out that if the money is not on the table, it's definitely not going to work. If the money is on the table and everyone's shutzim in the table and you make the proper kinyanim, according to the Ramah, according to the Shulchan Gibarim, you'd be fine. According to the Rambam, actually, even though it's a game of chance, it's going to be Asr. However, if you're playing with family members, according to the Rambam, the same Isser will apply. According to the Rambam, with family, if it all belongs to the parent anyway, there's no Isser of Kuvya, he doesn't have such a gezerah. What about Chinese auctions? So Chinese auctions, although we pointed out before from an Asmachta point of view, it's not a problem. What about from a Kenyan, from the Kenyan perspective? Or what about this Isser in Or HaChaim? If in Or HaChaim we see there's an Isser to be involved in any lottery, why should this be any different? Now the truth be told, in a technical sense, it shouldn't be. And if in Or HaChaim it's a halacha psuka, then any form of lottery is Isser, Chinese auction is a form of lottery. What people are saying on is, you can really ask a more basic question, and that is, people use Meister money for Chinese auctions. Why? If you're buying something, if you're gambling, I've never heard of anyone using Meister money for Kvetlach. The answer is that people are saying from Rav Moshe that when people are buying it, they're not really buying something that has value. They're giving money to tzedakah, and as a side thing, in order to encourage people to give tzedakah, they're offering a certain prize. If you're following that psak, so then you're not be'ikr gambling, you're be'ikr giving money to tzedakah. So then, l'chare, the yisr shouldn't apply. Now the truth is, there's another svara l'hakam, and that is, what's the yisr of having being involved in a lottery? It's a question of gambling. There are five pieces of dessert, we're each going to get one of the pieces, and we're gambling, we're having a lottery to see who gets the biggest, who gets the smallest. So here I'm gambling against someone, there we find that there's this yisr. When you put money in a Chinese auction, let's say you put in money and your chavrusa, your fellow next to you, she'll also put in money. When you win, does a person look at you and tell you, listen, you know, you just won my $100? Are you gambling against somebody? L'chay or not? You're not gambling. It's not a question of a lottery where each person's putting in something and I'm winning and there's a winner and there's a loser. Here it's a question of, like the truth on Huggis points out, it's like you're buying a schus, you're buying a right to get a certain part of the pot. You're not gambling against anybody. And therefore the truth on Huggis says that l'kulayama, it should not be osir. In addition, there happens to be a halacha that by tztaka, it could be there's no isur asmachta in the first place. That's really machlokes is when it applies and when it doesn't. But there are quite a number of tzirufim in a case of a Chinese auction, and that is what the oilam is saying with
l'hakol. Why can't you just buy a similar svara, but entertainment?
Because the entertainment is gambling. The entertainment is the fact that you're gambling against someone. Look, there's a winner and a loser, and the winner is taking the money from the loser. When you're in a Chinese auction, I don't think anyone looks at it. They're taking the money. They're gambling against everyone else. The Moisid is giving this prize, and I hope to win it. You don't. If you're like the Rambam, Gezel is Gezel, whether it's 50 cents or a dollar or $1,000. If you're going with the as far as the Isser, so in our Chayim, we're talking about dessert. We're not talking about huge amounts of money. I mean, again, for kids, maybe chocolate, but we're not talking about huge amounts. But the very in our Chaim, it's usur, any form of gambling is usur. And therefore, even in the case of dreidel, unless you want to go ahead and make sure that you give your kids, sell them the table beforehand to make kinyanim, it's questionable. If there's a minhag in the family to play with money, if there is such a thing, then you know a minhag perhaps is a minhag. But if there, but l'chadchila, what you really should be doing is you should be telling your kids you're not gambling for money. After you're going to play dreidel, and afterwards you'll give out whatever you want to give out. But it shouldn't be a gamble, because it's again in Aruch Chaim, it's a mefurish halacha without any chokim.
So raffles
again. It's like that, but you have that other heter, and that is no one is gambling against someone else.
To give out.
In the case of Aruch Chaim, everyone has one portion, and they're raffling. They're gambling who gets the biggest and who gets the smallest. There's a winner and a loser. In these cases where there's no winner and loser, someone is giving a present, and this is how he's going to choose. There's malkum to say this doesn't go into Msachim B'kuvi at all. Now, just to end off, let me just end off. I'll take questions afterwards. Just to end off, if you look at the Lashonos in Hilchos Chanukah, they're very. Mishabur writes that Rabbi Avinu Seinu Haravim Yesh Anoshim Shetachas Miros V'Tishbachos Sheroi LaHalal Hashem Yisbarach Al Hanisim Shalosu Lano. In place of the Shiros V'Tishbachos, the Shevach V'Hoidah that a person ought to be doing on Chanukah, Hey Marbim B'Schoik HaKartoin. Someone who's shomer nafsha, someone who's concerned with his neshama, should stay away from it. The Rosh Hashulchan has even a stronger language. They have a tremendous punishment. The kama mina averos tluyas ba. Gambling is something which is never done in isolation. It's something which the environment that it's done in is not an environment that reeks of yiras Hashem, and being involved in it causes many other averos. Whoever is able to mevatel it, his tremendous schar. So Rosh Hashulchan adds that besides the actual Isser, and besides for the fact that Mishnah Brura points out that it's being done in its time, which is should be dedicated for Shalach B'Hoidah, Rosh Hashulchan's point is the environment it's done in is usually leaves a lot to be desired. They had in Belgium, Rebitzker law, when he saw what was going on in Hanukkah, he saw that it was Kvidlach, he realized he can't stop it. It's been going on for too long. So he made a takona. Anyone who wants to play Kvidlach, it's not a problem. Play in the Beis Medrash. I want to see everyone. I want to see what's going on. I want to make sure that it's in. So that's what they did. Hanukkah night, everyone came, they played in the Beis Medrash. Every hour or two, he would come out, confiscated all of the money, and gave it to Tzedakah. Now this way, first of all, he's making sure that it's being done in the Beis Medrash, it's being done in an environment where there are no other averos going on. And second of all, if everyone who's playing knows, when they put out a dollar on the table, they know whether they win or lose, this money is going to Tzedakah. So now you have all this asnachta problems. It doesn't make a difference whether it is a kinyan, it isn't a kinyan, gezel, not gezel. Everyone putting down the money knows it's going straight to tzedakah. You avoid all the problems. Now I was thinking a little bit, why is it that people playing gambling somehow got associated with Hanukkah? Why do people gamble? So I think people gamble for two things, for two reasons. First of all, it's always very nice to put in a dollar and get $10. It's, you know, to get something for nothing. Put in a little in a dollar in a dream. I think it's something that nakuda appeals to everyone. There's also a point that everyone who gambles knows that the odds are stacked against them. Everyone knows that the numbers don't work out. It's not a clever investment. But people have this thrill or this feeling that they're different. They can beat the odds, they're lucky, and either whether it's a feeling or a hope, that's something which is moishach a person. It's this, he wants to feel that he's different, he's lucky, he's special, he can beat the odds. If you think about it, what was the Nes of Hanukkah? Masar to Giburim Biyad Chaloshim, the Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, the entire Nes of Hanukkah was a Nes of beating the odds. That when a Yid is Moser Nefesh for as Avodas Hashem, it makes no difference to Rabbi Shalom whether it's a Rabbim Biyad Ma'atim or Ma'atim Biyad Rabbim. It doesn't make a difference whose army is stronger, who has better weapons, what odds the bookies are giving. When a Yid is Avodas Hashem, he knows that he has Haftacha, he'll be Matzliach, regardless of what the odds are. When they won the war, what did they do? They took a Pach Shemen, they had for one night, they took the ultimate gamble, and it burned for 8 nights. They got to put in one, they got 8 back in return. Another gamble that won. Vayisayis Chanukah is a time to beat the odds. And Vayisayis Chanukah is a time where every Yid has this koyach. The difference is that this koyach is for Ruchnius. When a person is Moshe Nefesh for Avodas Hashem, that's where he has his Haftoch. He doesn't have to worry about the numbers, he doesn't have to worry about the difficulty. He'll be Matzliach, he's special, it'll work out. When you use that and instead blow that segula on a game of cards, and instead of spending time being oymed on that and steiging in your avodas Hashem, you're instead using it to play dreidel and play the cards. That perhaps is why the Poskim took it so severely and wrote such strong lashonos about it. Afreilichem Chanukah.